Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I know that this is not necessarily your usual, everyday, common Christmas message, but I think it fits because when you're talking about preparation for the Lord and when you're talking about all of the activities and all of the things, I imagine that this is how God wanted his people prepared for the coming of Jesus. And it started in the Old Testament, but it continued with John. Now, I want you to try to imagine Zechariah just a minute here. Try to imagine his head spinning as he is performing his duties in the temple and as he is burning incense and as he is offering prayers. And then an angel comes to him and tells him that his wife, who is barren and elderly, is now going to have a baby. Imagine Zechariah's head just kind of whirling around as all of this is going on. You must be joking, right? But this angel told Zechariah exactly what was going to happen. Told him about the baby, told him about the name, told him about the purpose, told him exactly how this was going to fulfill everything that God had promised. The ultimate goal was that through John, people would be prepared for the Lord. The question that I have is, how did John do? Because we kind of know a little bit about the story. You know, when Elizabeth was pregnant, she and Mary had a meeting, and the baby that was in Elizabeth jumped and leaped for joy. And then we don't hear much until there it is in Scripture. John is wearing camel's hair, eating locust and honey, out in the wilderness. But how did he prepare the people for the coming of Jesus? Well, the first thing that he did was he prepared them through proclamation. He prepared them through proclamation. He was a fiery preacher. He caused quite a stir among the Pharisees and the religious leaders. His message was not just for a single group of people, but his message was for any who would hear, who would listen. And he was pretty bold. He didn't care who he offended. He even offended King Herod, because he told King Herod, you've taken a woman as your wife, but she is not your wife. She's actually your brother's wife. So what do you think you're doing? In our preparations for the coming of Christ, we need to take a look very deeply into the good news that God has given us. The message that we have received, the word of God, speaks loudly, but only to those who are willing to listen. And when we hear that message, what do we do with it? This prophet, John the Baptist, though he spoke boldly and though he was a little bit odd in his appearance and in his mannerisms, yet he knew that there was a truth. He was to prepare the way of the Lord. And that meant you got to speak it. You got to tell it. You got to talk about it. It is awful hard to prepare somebody for something if you don't have words with them, if you don't speak to them, if there are no instructions. And the instruction that John gave, which was the second way that he prepared people, was repent. Repent. He boldly prepared people by calling them to repentance. And in our text, the angel said that John would bring people back to the Lord their God. And that is a beautiful way to visualize the word repentance. Bring people back to the Lord. Oh, when I was in Sunday school years and years ago, I was taught that the word repentance literally means to turn around. And so for a long, long time, I just thought that that meant that I'm going the wrong way away from Christ, and I needed to turn, and I needed to go toward Christ. And that is okay. That's an okay picture. But in my mind, it was a 180-degree turn. Well, since then, I have learned that turning does not necessarily mean that I am 180 degrees completely contrary to God. I can be off by only 1 degree. I don't have to be off by 180 degrees. I can be off by only 1 degree. Have you ever looked through a telescope or a microscope or a camera where there's a focus lens on it? If you've ever looked at a telescope at the moon, and I'll just use that as an example, there is this little button on the telescope that you turn in order to get the moon completely in focus. Now, there's another problem with this, is not only are you trying to focus on the moon, but the two planets, the Earth and the moon, are also moving. So as soon as you get it into focus, within the next 5 seconds, you're out of focus. And so you have to adjust it again, and you have to keep adjusting it. And that is the picture of repentance. You are constantly adjusting your life so that it aligns with a perfect God. Because there is only one perfection. There's not multiple perfections. There's only one. And so repentance is this constant effort. Excuse me. This constant attempt on our lives to align ourselves with God. And God knows that we don't have the strength to do that on our own. Because remember what John's job was? To bring people back to what? To God. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we repent. Repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry for something bad that I've done. Repentance is saying, I need God's power to be what God wants me to be. That's what repentance is. And it is a constant, everyday life with every aspect of my life. What I see, what I think, what I hear, what I say. And that's what John was calling people to do. Repentance necessitates that I take an inventory of my life and try to discover, am I prioritizing God in every area of my life? Or am I just prioritizing God on Sundays? It's a difficult process. And so for John to call people to repentance, it doesn't mean that he just wants you to come to church on Sunday. He wants you to give your life over. He doesn't want you to adhere to Satan's lies. He doesn't want Satan's lies to take over your life. He doesn't want you to neglect things, spiritual things. He wants you to give them over to God's cleansing power. Repentance draws us back to God so that he can purify us. But the third way that John prepared the people was he prepared them to receive God's gift. John knew that he wasn't the Messiah. And so even though he was calling people to repentance, he was very clear that he is not the Messiah. He was preparing people to receive the Messiah. He knew that he was as unworthy to be considered the Messiah as he was to untie the sandals, or Jesus' sandals. He knew that God's gift to the world was not John the Baptist. God's gift to the world is Jesus Christ. The angel promised that John would prepare families to receive Jesus as their Lord. If you read that promise again that the angel gave to Zechariah, not only does it say that he will bring people back to the Lord their God, but he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Not a people prepared for John, but a people prepared for the Lord. You see, the angel promised that John would prepare families, children, families, fathers, etc., to receive Jesus as their Savior. Now, he didn't say that it would be easy, because Other places in Scripture, it says everybody has their own free will, and there are always going to be children that disappoint their parents, and there's always going to be parents that do not do right by their children, and there's always going to be this kind of fighting, if you will. Because everybody has to make up their own mind, but this is the preparation. At least the groundwork is laid so that God's gift can be accepted. Christ in you. That's the gift. That's the greatest gift. The hope of God's glory. So, my friends, now is really truly the day of preparation. Now is the day. And as I was thinking about Christmas preparations, I just kept coming back to how am I preparing to receive Christ? Now, I received Jesus when I was a child, but I am daily receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am daily repenting and adjusting my life and accepting more of His will into my life. It is not a one-time thing. Just because I was baptized when I was 11 years old does not give me a golden ticket on the Polar Express to get to heaven. I need to constantly be adjusting my life and receiving that gift and living out that gift. And so today, friends, is the day of preparation. Now is the time to do the stuff that I need to do to get ready for the Lord. Now is the day to prepare to receive Christ. That was the message the angel gave to Zechariah about his son John. And John did not disappoint. He spoke that message loudly, and it is ringing through the generations into this building today. Receive Jesus. Receive the Lord. Prepare your hearts. Prepare yourselves to receive Christ the Lord. We have a song that we're going to sing as we wrap this service up. The song is just designed to once again remind us that we do have a joy that comes from Christ. How great is that joy? Please stand.